solving the world's problems. And we're joined by farmer, broadcaster and columnist Steve Wynn-Harris with a bit of a rural perspective on the world's problems. Hey there, Steve.
G'day, Jesse. How's things?
Good. How are you getting on?
Getting on good. Love that interview you had with Colin Hogg about Barry Crump. Back in 1977, I was in the seventh form, it was called in those days. In your time, it's the year 13, I think, Jesse.
No, I'm seventh form as well, yep.
Okay.
I never made it to seventh form, but anyway, carry on.
You must be younger than you look. Older, maybe. Anyway, so Barry
Keep digging, Steve, go on.
Barry came into our seventh form history class. There's only five of us at Central Hawke's Way College in those days. And gave us a talk. We'd all read Good Keen Man, of course, so we're a little bit starstruck. And he converted us all to Baha'i on the day. He was so infectious.
Wow.
We all signed up to become Baha'is.
Amazing. He's turned into a bit of a missionary in his later years, eh?
Yeah, it only lasted about a week. I don't think any of us are Baha'is a week later after he'd gone. I've got a memory of him and the history teacher smoking a joint, but that could, you know, after 45 years, it could actually be a fake memory.
Hey, enough about me being younger than I look. Yeah. You just turned 60.
Yeah, I just turned 60.
Congratulations. Very cool. Well done.
Yeah, no, quite pleased about that. The high-risk group is blokes in their 50s to 60s. It's a dangerous time for us ageing blokes.
Yeah.
Accidents, heart, you know, you don't know you've got a heart condition and you're running around like a young fellow, and then you have a heart attack. Suicides, unfortunately, particularly in the rural sector. So, yeah, the 50s are a risk period for us blokes, and so I've just got into the 60s, so hopefully I'm right now.
Do you ever meet your colleagues and think, mate, you need to talk to someone?
Yeah, I'm on a little wellbeing committee. You know, we often talk about suicide prevention and awareness, and we're starting to spread that message now through the rural media that I'm involved with. My generation have got better, certainly better than the generation above us, about talking about these things, you know, about mental well-being and just the health, you know, living a healthy life. And I suspect that the generations below us are going to be far better again. But no, we're talking about it, that's for sure, because it's an increasing problem that we need to be aware of.
Actually, you just reminded me of a really sad story in the last couple of years about a guy down your way. You probably know who I'm talking about. Seems like success doesn't really affect what's going on inside your head. Anyway, we won't spend too long on that one this week, because I'm sure we'll come back to it. What's been going on the farm?
Well, just to clear up a little bit of fake news from Gary McCormick last week on the panel, and I know he's a provocateur, and I love Gary. I've met him two or three times, and, you know, he's great fun. But there he was. He kept on going on about the subsidies that the farmers are getting and how annoyed he was about having to subsidise us. And, look, honestly, Gary, 1986 was the last time New Zealand farming got any sort of subsidies, and I started farming on the day that subsidies stopped. So anyone my age or younger who's been farming that long length of time has not had a subsidy. So
you know,
we're always getting the boot put into us. The vegans are into us at the moment.
I mean, I could say, Steve, that in a way we are subsidising your greenhouse gas emissions, given that other people are going to pay for it, and you aren't at the moment.
Well, let's talk about that, because that probably is our tenuous link to solving the world's problems. we've accepted that these ruminants are belching out methane left, right and centre, and that methane is going up into the atmosphere and is contributing to climate change and global warming. But you've got to remember that 15 years ago, none of us had ever heard of this. And these ruminants have been doing this since they evolved. You know, it's just part of the bacterial life that's in their ruminants.
Yeah.
So we've started doing things about it 10 to 15 years ago. We are levied, and some of those funds go towards these scientists looking for new microbes to insert into the rumen to stop them belching out methane. Because, in fact, when they do make methane, it's a production loss, because that energy would be better put into making protein. So it's in farmers' best interests for them not to belch out methane, let alone the environment. So we're working on that. My own sector, sheep and beef, we've actually dropped our greenhouse emissions something like 25-30% since 1990. That's never acknowledged. Most of that is because of the retrenchment. All our good land's been flogged by cities and dairy farmers. So we've become a smaller sector in terms of our land use. But you know what? We're still producing the same volume of sheep meat and wool and beef off a much smaller area. So we've become much, much more efficient, and are now some of the most efficient farmers per kilogram of methane that is emitted in the world. So, you know, we are working on it, and we acknowledge there's a problem there. And, of course, that's the big debate going on in Parliament at the moment.
I boldly told listeners they could ask you anything they wanted about farming, and we got one question through today, but it's a pretty complicated one. Do you want me to throw it at you, and you can tell me? You're welcome to pass if you want to.
Like Barry Crump, I'm a bit of a bullshitter. I'll just make it up, perhaps. But no, if I can't answer it, I'll let you know.
Okay. Gee, we're setting a record for swearing on today's afternoon show, aren't we, Ellie? All right. Did you
say? Hold on. I heard Catherine Ryan saying that S word all morning.
Really?
She did. Honestly, I heard her say it at least twice.
Okay. I'll have a word to her in the kitchenette. Now, Jesse, I always enjoy hearing Steve's take on stuff agrarian. I would be keen to hear his thoughts on the concept of on-farm solar-powered dewatering of raw milk. I imagine this could have a dramatic effect on the collection and transport costs and lower the carbon footprint of big dairy, says Lynn, dairy grandfather of Taupō.
Yeah, okay. It sounds like a bloody good idea. I'm not a dairy farmer, of course.
No.
I would imagine that the efficiencies and the cost structure points to doing it at the factory. But, you know, solar panels are getting cheaper and cheaper every year, and they're getting to the stage where they're becoming a good alternative for putting on your roofs and turning that free energy into heating your water, and in this case using it to extract water from milk. So, hey, why not? She should pass that on to Fonterra.
Is dewatering a complicated process, do you think?
Yeah, you know those big towers you see at dairy factories?
Yeah.
That's all part of blowing the milk somehow. I mean, I've never been in one and not looked up one of those towers, but somehow they're blowing the dehydrating milk up there and getting all the fluids out of it to turn it into milk powder. Uh-huh. So no, I think it is very energy intensive operation.
You feeling a bit oppressed by the vegans at the moment, Steve?
Yeah, vegans aren't too keen on us, and
are they? Feel like I ever hear vegans talking about farmers.
Well, what about just the other day? There was vegans going through the supermarkets putting stickers on meat packs, telling people that this was an animal who didn't want to be eaten.
That's activist vegans, but most vegans mind your own business, just quietly trying to do their own thing for the world, aren't they?
Yeah, we like mind your own business, just quietly doing things for the world. And in fact, you know, look, I've got nothing against vegans. That's a, you know, it's a lifestyle choice, and they're welcome to it. And in fact, they might well, you know, they will be helping the world and solving the world's problems. And but it's, yeah, those activists are trying to convert everyone to their way of thinking, but like Barry Crump coming and turning me into a Baha'i when I was 17. that is true. It's the activists that are annoying. And I guess what's not acknowledged is, you know, one of the other big methane emitters on the planet are rice paddy fields, Jesse. So there's no form of food production that doesn't have environmental effects.
Mm. Did you hear me talking to the cricket farmer?
Say that again?
Did you hear me talking to the cricket farmer of the Wairarapa, the guy farming crickets?
Yes, I did hear that one, yeah.
Sounded quite tempting, I thought, as a farmer.
Yeah, I went over to Mexico a few years ago. This Mexican rang me up and goes, Steve, you come and do a speech to my conference. I can't do a Mexican accent, obviously.
Probably best you don't, actually. Yeah, go on.
I thought it was one of my mates having me on, but in the end, I ended up in Mexico doing a couple of speeches to the sheep conference.
Wow.
And I'd go around the markets and would buy insects. I can remember buying crickets, and they had salt and chili on them, and must have been something else, lime, I think. And they were delicious. They were really good. But you ended up with a whole, you know, all these little bits of legs and stuff in your mouth for hours and hours afterwards.
Mm. Extra flossing after eating crickets.
Yeah, so no, you know, crickets are a good thing.
Okay. Hey, I met your son. This is really not kind of like relevant to the interview, but I just want to tell you he's a lovely, lovely guy. You've done a good job on him.
I've got two sons up in Auckland. I've got one
Jack?
Who's a surveyor and one who's a camera operator and drone pilot.
Yeah, I met the surveyor, I think. Was it Jack? What's his name?
Hugh. Young Hugh.
Hugh, okay.
Okay, well, actually, that goes back to about the average age of farmers. We said I've just turned 60. The average age is in the mid to late 50s now. This is sheep and beef farmers. And one of the reasons is that we're much more open to our children taking on different careers. And there's two examples. I've got a third son who is farming 30 minutes drive from here. Another reason is that there's a consistent view that farming no longer has the status it once had, Jesse. Another reason, male farmers find it hard to meet women to take on the farming life.
Yeah.
Older farmers, we've got more capital to expend our farms and counter the long-term decrease in commodity prices that we see over long lengths of time. It's good at the moment. And also, there's a propensity for farmers to keep farming well into their 60s. And I know farmers who are in their 70s going into their 80s still farming, Jesse. It's tough physically life, but it's a good life, really good.
Do they worry about what will happen, you know, when they're too old to farm themselves?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do keep fussing about that statistic about the average age increasing. But, you know, my thing, well, we can't go on forever, and suddenly there's going to be a vacuum and it'll need to be filled. And that will give some young fellas a big opportunity when they suddenly realise, you know, maybe some of these Auckland living sons get so pissed off with the traffic, they might suddenly think, ooh, the old man's lifestyle's not so bad after all.
Hey, next time we might talk lambing, eh?
Yeah, let's talk lambing, because last time we talked, it was tupping, and you were very fixated on ram.
Well,
ratios.
No, I don't think that's fair.
You don't think that's fair?
Well,
we talked about 5 minutes on ram ratios, okay. And it wasn't all me.
All right. Steve Wynn-Harris, solving the world's problems. Great to chat to you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. See ya.